The Sanctuary Choir of St. John Baptist Church will sing for you a traditional Negro spiritual, "Every Time I Feel the Spirit," led by Dorothy Postel. And the next number will be a sort of modified version of the gospel song that we hear so often today, "He Leadeth Me." Nathaniel Deck was one of our very outstanding black composers. We do now an anthem, I'll Never Turn Back. Then we will do our own version of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. This will be led by Willie Evelyn Daniels.
Thank you. in the beauty of the lilies. Christ was born way across the sea with the glory in his bosom that transfigured you and me as he died to make men holy. Let us live on to make men holy.
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, it was certainly worth waiting for all this time. We've been trying to get them over here. Let's give them another hand. Mrs. Kennedy, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And we hope while you're here today that you'll visit in the museum. I'm talking to your group now. And the tower. And see all the Fostery honor there. Boys, you needn't take that piano off so far because in just a little bit we're going to need it. That's all right since you moved it. We feel that we can't have a Florida Folk Festival without the first citizen of Florida represented here. And we have a capital representative in the first woman who was elected chairman of the Seminole Intertribal Council. And she was also president of the Seminole Intertribal Council. Betty Mae Jumper was the first Indian girl in Florida to receive a high school education. Now, that doesn't speak very well for us, does it? And she had to go up to Cherokee, North Carolina, to go to school to get this high school education. But she's a great woman. She's a fine needlewoman. Please notice the dress she has on. This wasn't turned out on an assembly line. And no doubt it was made on a hand-turned, portable, maybe a Singer sewing machine, because that was those were the first ones they had, and they still use those hand-turned ones. They have a craft booth over here, and I hope that you'll go over and see the crafts and buy many. But in the meantime, I want you to meet Betty Mae Jumper.
Thank you, Cousin Tama. I enjoyed that song that these people sang just a while ago. Also, I'm glad today the sun come out again. Last night it chased us all off, I think. Back where I live on the reservation, I belong to the Baptist church. And this morning, we would have Sunday school and church just like anybody else do. But when I was growing up, my grandmother was full-blooded Indian, Miccosukee. She talks in Miccosukee. My grandfather talks Creek. So they used both languages when I was growing up. And when I was growing up, when I was before I was born, a missionary named Willie King came down from Oklahoma. He was a Creek Indian. And he talked Creek. And he tried to pass this Christianity into my people. But we were so far back in Glades, my people didn't trust nobody. They didn't trust nobody outsiders. And that's why we were called Seminole. Seminole means wall in our language. The people start calling us wall because we won't associate with anybody. It wasn't until 1935, in late 30s, that's when we began to come out with association people. That's when I start wanting to go to school. I was a little girl, wanting to go to school because I see other people go to school. And I didn't even know how to talk English. So when I was 14 years old, I went and tried to talk superintendent into sending me to school. But they won't let me because I cannot go to school in public school because I wasn't a white, I wasn't a colored, I was an Indian. And both school won't accept me. So there I was in Broward County. They turned me away from Broward County School. So my superintendent talking to sending me to school in a boarding school in North Carolina. So this is where I started in North Carolina with the Cherokees. Up in that beautiful mountains. I guess a lot of you have seen under these hills and went through that Cherokee, North Carolina. It's a beautiful country. Those shops wasn't even there when I went to school. And this was the beginning of my life. The reason I wanted to go to school was my people didn't know how to talk English, and they always want to go to doctors or dentists or whatever they want to do, and they cannot explain what was wrong with them. So this is the reason I went off to school. And I went and graduated from high school, and I went out Oklahoma and taking nurses training, and I came back. And my life has been among my people until now. I'm still working with them. I become a chairman for the Seminole tribe. And back in 1957, we started organizing our tribe so we would get more things and program into the reservation. This is the reason we become organized. And Billy Osceola, who just died 3 weeks ago, was a chairman. He was the first chairman of the Seminoles. And I become a vice chairman. This was the beginning of the women's, it's not a live, what do you all call it? But this was the beginning of the women coming out of my tribe, because we've been used to staying back, making gardens and raising kids. This was our life, while the men go out and hunt and bring food. But this was the beginning for us to come out. Today you could see women working everywhere, in the office, in the hospitals, or anywhere there's a lady's work, that's where they all are now. But this was what we start off, and we cannot turn back to the hunting ground and hunt food like we used to. Everything, everywhere you see, it's buildings where the water used to be. They drain the water and start building, so we have to find somewhere elsewhere to turn to get food. This is the reason why we went and get education and start school. When I first went off to school, there was a medicine man didn't want me to go to school. To make it worse, I was half-breed. My father was full-blooded Frenchman. He was a hunter when my mother married him out in the Glades. But they won't let him stay. I was 5 years old when they chased him off, so here I was with just my mother to grow up. And it was real bad for us, because my brother and I was half white. And the Indians said that we was bad. They used to kill those little half-breeders. I have a cousin. There's another lady that married a white guy. And they chased him off and killed the baby, the first baby. They went and put it out in the mud and put mud in his mouth and just push it in. You could hear that, just dying. My grandfather was a grandfather to that child too. He raised Cain. He decided that he wasn't going to let us kill. So my grandfather was named Jimmy Gopher. He went to jail for us because some of those Indians say that he was going to start killing the Indians. But the only reason he protected us was, and he had a gun, said that anybody that come to our camp, he was going to shoot him. That's the only reason they put him in jail, because he had a gun shooting at people that comes to our village. But we went on, and we went to school, and my brother was first Marine to join the Marine to have a service behind him. And this is the way we lived. We didn't have easy life. Today, I turn back interpret for my tribe. All these Indians, one of them still living that want me to get killed when I was a little girl. I go to him. We are best friends now. But he was against it, and he have grandchildren white. Sometimes I tease him. I say, do you want to kill your grandchild? He just laughs. But today, we have education like anybody else do. And we have a church on a church ground. And we go. Anybody can go any church they wanted to. And so this is where I was raised, in Baptist church. And I go to church most of my life in a Baptist. And we have a lot of Indian Christian songs in our churches. And I'm going to sing one song for you all this morning to see what it sounds like in our language. The Seminoles have three reservations. One is in Brighton, one is in Okeechobee, one is in Hollywood. I mean, Brighton, Clewiston, and Hollywood. Hollywood is our main office, and this is where we work out of. And so if you all want to visit Indian Reservation, you are free to come and visit, because we don't even use tomahawk on them. This is the song. This song is Jesus Pulskit Harvilege. That means God our Father is in heaven. Jesus, por que laiga, Jesus, por que laiga, Jesus, por que laiga, my dalo famen, mi kusa palkia piana, mi kusa palkia piana, mi kusa palkia piana, manti hitakati. Thank you.
I want to tell you that Betty May has been here many times, but she has not told us this before, and we deeply appreciate it. I want to tell you an interesting thing about her husband. His father, I believe it was his father, at the Green Corn Dance, which is the pagan ritual, where punishments are meted out and awards given, but punishments for things that go against the tribe. And I don't know what Papa did, but anyway, he was sentenced to wear for the rest of his life a white man's shirt only. That was all. And he was a very familiar figure on the streets of Fort Lauderdale in his long-tailed white man's shirt. He got real smart. People wanted to take his picture, and he charged them 25 cents to take his picture. So I expect that's the way he made his living. But it was her husband's father who had this terrible sentence passed upon him. All right. Now, let's welcome to the platform a fine singer from Hollywood, where Betty May told you she lives, Dan Tillinghast.
I hope nobody stepped on any ants today, because if you step on an ant, it'll ring. We had enough last night to do the rest of the folk festival, I think. When Joseph was a young man, an old man was he. He wed the Virgin Mary, the Queen of Galilee. He wed the Virgin Mary, the Queen of Galilee. As Joseph and Mary walked through an orchard green, there were apples and cherries plenty there to be seen. There were apples and cherries plenty there to be seen. Then up spoke pretty Mary, so softly spoke she, said, bring me lovely cherries, for I am with child. Said, bring me pretty cherries, for I am with child. Then Joseph flew in anger flew he. Let the father of your baby gather cherries for thee. Let the father of your baby gather cherries for thee. Then up spoke baby Jesus from in Mary's womb. Bend down the lowest tree that my mother might have some. Bend down the lowest tree that my mother might have some. Then the cherry trees bent low down, way down to the ground, and Mary gathered cherries while Joseph stood around. Mary gathered cherries while Joseph stood around. Then Joseph took Mary all on his right knee, said, Lord above, forgive me, have mercy on me. Said, Lord above, forgive me, have mercy on me.
Thank you. That song was called the Cherry Tree Carol, and generally was sung around the Christmas season. I think you probably noted that the verses don't rhyme quite perfectly. I expect that's probably part of the folk process. Not to mention that I probably forgot some of the words and got them mixed up. I am not big on religious folk songs. When I was a kid growing up, we used to sing them all the time, but there were always 5 or 10 or 20 of us singing them. And somebody over here would remember part of a verse, and somebody over here would fill in the other part of the verse. So I never really learned the verses. That was a part of the process, too. So I'd like to do a folk song that I learned from my father, and I think everybody knows this song. It's called The Weaver's Trade. I learned it before I ever knew there was a Burl Ives. I know that he was the one that made it popular. I'd like to do it with an in-tune guitar, but you won't do it at White Springs anymore. This is what we call the White Springs Plague, an out-of-tune guitar. When I was a bachelor and I lived all alone, I worked at the weaver's trade. The only thing that I did that was wrong was to woo a fair young maid. I wooed her in the winter time and the summer too. And the only thing that I did that was wrong was to keep her from the foggy dew. One night she knelt close by my side as I lay fast asleep. She threw her arms around my neck and then began to weep. She wept, she cried, tore her hair on me. What could I do? So all night long I held her in my arms, just to keep her from the foggy dew. Now I am a bachelor and I live with my son. We work at the weaver's trade. Every time that I look into his eyes, he reminds me of that fair young maid. He reminds me in the winter time and the summer too, of the many, many times that I held her in my arms, just to keep her from the foggy dew. Thank you. Well, the fox went out on a chilly night, and he prayed for the moon to give him light, for he'd many a mile to go that night before he reached the town. Oh, town, oh, town, oh, he'd many a mile to go that night before he reached the town. Oh, he ran till he came to a great big pen where the ducks and the geese were kept therein. Said, a couple of you will grease my chin before I leave this town. Oh, town, oh, town, oh, couple of you gonna grease my chin before I leave this town, oh. Well, he grabbed the gray goose round his neck, threw the duck across his back, and he didn't mind the quack, 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 and the legs all a-dangling down, oh, down, oh, down, oh. He didn't mind the quack, 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 and the legs all a-dangling down.
flipper-flopper jumped out of bed. Out of the window she popped her head. Said, John, John, the gray goose is gone and the fox is on the town. Oh, town, oh, town, oh. John, John, the gray goose is gone and the fox is on the town. Oh. Well, Farmer John ran to the top of the hill and he blew his horn both loud and shrill. Old fox, he said, I better flee with my kill, for he'll soon be on my trail. Low, trail, low, trail, low. Fox, he said, I better flee with my kill, for he'll soon be on my trail. Low. He ran till he came to his cozy den. There were the little ones, 8, 9, 10, saying, Daddy, Daddy, better go back again, cause it must be a mighty fine town. No, town, oh, town, oh. Daddy, Daddy, better go back again, cause it must be a mighty fine town, oh. So the fox and his wife, without any strife, they cut up the goose with a fork and a knife, and they never had such a supper in their lives, and the little ones chewed on the bones, oh, bones, oh, bones, oh. They never had such a supper in their lives, and the little ones chewed on the bones, oh. Thank you.
Over in our craft row, we have many fine artisans working, and one in particular is a top-notch craftsman from Arkansas. I hope that you'll go by his booth and see some of the beautiful things that he does. He does many pieces for churches. And when he accepted our invitation to come to the Florida Folk Festival, he asked us to send him a photograph of Stephen Collins Foster. And we did. And he's here to show you what he has done from that photograph. It's a great pleasure and honor to have here Adrian Cobb from Arkansas.
Thank you, Cousin Thelma, and it's my great privilege to present this to you, and you can do with it what you want to. If there's a knot in the wall somewhere you want to cover up, you can use it for that, a crack in the plaster, or you can set it on an easel.
Yes, yes.
And hide things behind it, you know. But it is a great pleasure to present that to the whoever, and you do with it whatever you want.
Thank you.
I knew I'd get a kiss. I knew we were kissing cousins.
Well, you may be sure it will be given a place of honor in one of the museums, either the Tower or the beautiful Foster Museum, Antebellum Museum. Isn't it a work? It's truly a work of art, isn't it? And if you're interested in seeing it, you can see it close up later on. Now, a lovely...